The sermon tonight is about what do we do with our doubt, reading about John the Baptist, whatever you want to call it, second guessing, not sure what to do next. He was in prison, not for anything morally wrong he had done. He had angered somebody in authority, and they wanted to teach him a lesson, and he was in prison. And he had a moment where he sent people that followed him. John the Baptist was a leader. The tendency for leaders sometimes is to show a certainty and a, however you want to say it, gravitas that you may not really have. We were singing in choir practice tonight, and the music said, with energy. And they said, what if we're not really feeling energetic? I just said, fake it. Okay, so you got to fake it. I remember a story, we had a pastor that came to visit. Of course, a respected guy came to visit our house. It was Pastor, he's visited here before, Dad's pastor for a while. Came to visit, and my mom made cheese dip. It was kind of a special occasion. Mom would make this, you know, liquid cheese dip, and she made it for this meal. This pastor came over and visited, and he sat down at the table, and he looked at the bowl of cheese dip, and he grabbed a spoon, and he started to eat it. And he said, "This is the best cheese soup I've ever had." And just that tendency to say, well, I'm not sure what to do, but I got to do something. I got to do something because I don't want to look, you know, like an idiot. I just got to do. I got to fake it till you make it and do something. John the Baptist was a leader. He had a question of Christ. He sent two men to ask that question, and they did so in a public way because the next few verses after they leave with the answer, Jesus says, "Go back and tell them people are getting healed. People are coming back from the dead. The gospel's being preached." He said, "Yes, in answer to your question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Yes, Jesus is the one you've been waiting for. Don't look for somebody else." But we know it was public because the next verses talk about he speaks of John the Baptist and says, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So Jesus takes the next paragraphs, the next few minutes of time to talk about, you just heard about a leader that has doubt, but I'm going to tell you, if you're questioning him and his circumstances, you're not better than him. Because if you're born of a woman, you're not better than John the Baptist. And so what I want to talk about is what we do when doubts come. Again, I say sometimes we do fake it. We say fake it till you make it. Charles Spurgeon said, "I think when a man says, I never doubt, it is quite time for us to doubt him." All of us face these times of, are you sure? We second guess. We look again and say, I'm not sure. Sometimes things happen in life. We get disappointed. A loved one is sick. A loved one dies. We see a situation. We say, that's not fair. And we doubt. I think it was not fair that John the Baptist was in prison. He had a real reason for a physical anguish, a mental anguish, and a spiritual anguish. And he just asked a question, and Jesus answered him. John was honest in the question that he asked. And he was honest enough to tell people that followed him, go to the source, go to Jesus and ask him. He was honest with himself. The Bible says don't bear false witness against our neighbor. I don't think we should bear false witness against ourselves. He was honest about his doubt, and the only way he could fix it was to be honest about it and to be humble about it. The Bible says in James, and again in other places, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. When we need help, we need to ask for that help with a humble attitude, acknowledging who we are, acknowledging where we are, acknowledging our circumstance and our situation. He was a man of faith. Again, this is a guy that lived out in the wilderness. He trusted God for every meal. He trusted God that he was the forerunner of Christ. He announced Jesus' ministry. He baptized Jesus. He was somebody that had been up close and personal in his faith, and yet he still had doubt. So I was going to ask myself, and I always preach to myself. I doubted whether I should preach this tonight. I feel like the songs and the testimonies reinforced that we all need to remind ourselves Not if we doubt, but when we doubt, we need to remind ourselves what Christ has done for us. What do we do when that doubt comes? John got as made as short as the distance as he could get. He was in prison, but he closed the points of the degrees of separation. He had one messenger between him and Christ. He got as close as he could get to the source of his answer, and he went directly to Jesus as best he could. For us, we don't have an intermediary. We don't have to find another messenger with our doubt. We can take our doubts directly to God through prayer. We can pray, and it can be a instantaneous two-way conversation that we can say, here's what I'm going through. Here's my doubt. I need an answer for that doubt. John did that the best way he could, directly to Jesus. It was not a game of telephone. He didn't tell a friend who told a friend who told a friend. He said, I want you two, the ones that are following me, I want you to go and ask the question that I have. The circumstances of life had caused him to doubt, but they also caused him to grow deeper in his faith. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our tendency is to say, I'm only going to put the big things on God's plate. I'm only going to say, if it's a life and death emergency, if there's something that I have to deal with immediately, I'll mention that to God. But I'll have all these little, I think Pastor calls them ankle biters, I'll have all these little problems that I just keep them to myself. I won't share those with God. But the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Make that distance as short as possible. Make the messenger as the points of contact, keep it as short as possible between you and God. So what do we do with doubt? Come directly to Jesus. Use that as an opportunity to increase our faith, to grow deeper in our faith. And then don't ignore it. Answer it. Answer it with the Word of God. Answer it with personal testimony. Again, Jesus didn't say, I can't believe my number one guy, however you want to say, I can't believe my forerunner, the man that baptized me, I can't believe this man is doubting. No, he gave him the same answer that he gave to all the lesser people around. If there's none greater born of women than John the Baptist, he said, all these other guys need to hear this too. The blind are healed, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead live again, the dead are raised up. He gave the same answer that we need to hear. And our confession. So how do we answer the doubt? All right, here we go. Number one, our confession. In the Bible, when the Bible uses the word confession, it's not always about sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible uses that word confess to basically say agree with God. So it's not always agreeing with God about our sin. That's true. God says it's wrong. When we confess, we say, God says it's wrong, I agree with God. But there's also many times in the Bible where it says to confess your faith. Jesus talked about if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. That's not a confession of sin. That is a public declaration. It's a visible affirmation to say it out loud, to confess it. Not to confess of wrongdoing, but to say, I really believe this. I really agree with God. And I confess it. And that's a daily thing that we have to do. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's something that we have to daily reaffirm and say, not only do I need to confess that sin, I know for sure God, I agree with God that that's wrong. I got to confess that. But I also need to confess my faith, not just my faults, but confess my faith, to declare it publicly. We need, in order to do that, we need to have a daily confession and a daily practicing of what we preach. Confirm that which you are confessing. So when you say it, also back it up with the actions. And again, it's not to keep a saving faith. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying a faith that we can use to do something for God. As an illustration, I talked to the junior church this morning about, I was trying to follow after Easter. I talked about Simon Peter. Before Christ died, you know, Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not. And Jesus said, you're going to hear the rooster sound. You're going to know when it happens. I'm going to have that rooster crow, and you're going to know that you denied me. And then we talked about Easter after Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus comes back to Peter in John and says, Peter says, I go a fishing. Peter said, I'm going back to my old life, my old job. Jesus had risen, but Peter had denied Christ. It seems that he had lost confidence in what he had done, not lost confidence in the Savior, but lost confidence in himself, that he could serve God. And most of you know the story. They went back to fishing, but God worked a miracle. And most of us read that story. God worked a miracle. At the end of the story, they cast the net on the other side of the boat, and they got 153 fish all at once. They fished all night and caught nothing. And I was thinking about it today. It was a miracle that they caught absolutely nothing. I don't know about just thinking if a fish was half dead or a dead fish. It's just really weird that they caught absolutely nothing, and then they caught a whole bunch all at once. It was both a miracle in the nothing and a miracle in the full net. And God, I believe God did that to say, you can try to go back to that old life, but it's not even going to be as good as it was when you left. It's going to be worse, because God has a purpose for you, and you're not filling that purpose. You're letting this past sin, you're letting this past denial control the rest of your life. It's not going to be as good as it was. It's going to be so much worse. It's going to be unprofitable. It's going to be a waste of your time. And you know the story. They cast net on the other side of the boat. They pulled in a whole haul of fish. And Jesus gave Peter three opportunities to say, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? You know, do you love me? Do you love the life with Christ more than your old life? And Peter said, you know that I love you. And Jesus gave him three opportunities to tell him he loved him. And he gave him three answers where he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He said, here's what you can do with that doubt. Here's what you can do with that sin. You can confess it, and you can use that experience to tell somebody else about what Jesus did for you. It was a personal testimony. It has to be a daily thing, stay in God's word, to act on our faith and not on our doubts. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So if we study, we're declaring that God's approval matters to us. If we don't study the word of God, we're confessing and declaring that we don't care about the approval of God. Either way, we're making a confession. Either way, we're making a declaration. The Bible says that Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Paul said, pray without ceasing. When we pray, we're saying we completely depend on what God can do. We're asking God for other people to join us in that labor. We're showing that we're all part of one body and we need God's protection. So when we pray, we're making a statement. Just not even before God answers the prayer. When we pray to God, we're saying we depend on God. Prayer is important. We need to talk to God. And when we don't pray, we're also making a statement. We're declaring when we don't pray that we don't need God, we don't need his guidance, we don't need his forgiveness and his love. Either way, we're making a declaration. Either way, we're making a confession. And it's a daily thing. Either daily we confess it and we do it, or we daily declare that we don't need him. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he talked about, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll send a comforter, I'll send a guide and a source of spiritual strength that only comes from the Holy Spirit. We need to submit to his will, the part of God that resides within us. And when we do that, we're declaring or confessing that we believe the Holy Spirit has a strength that we can only come from him, and we're agreeing with God. And when we don't submit to him, we're declaring that that strength is unneeded. So either way, we're declaring something by doing it or by not doing it. And that's how we should live our life. And a lot of people were an example of that tonight. God meets us in our doubts. God meets us in our failures. God takes what we have and transforms it. And again, like Brother Darrell said, we may not even recognize who we are after the transformation, but God takes whatever we bring to him, our doubts, our failures, our faults, and God declares to us, as Jesus declared to John the Baptist, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus said, you had doubts because you started looking at your own circumstances. You had doubts because you started looking at the trials that were surrounding you instead of looking at the Savior. The reason you're in these circumstances is because of the faith that you have, because of the strong belief that you have in Christ. And again, I think if Jesus said, I'm going to use John the Baptist as an example, because if he struggles with it, so does the rest of you. So does everybody else. But it's a daily confession. It's a daily confession of not just our faults, but of our faith. It's a daily staying in the Word of God, acknowledging, saying, God's Word is important. I want to be approved, not to other men, but approved to God. I want God's direction in my life. I want other people praying with me. I want to talk to God, and I want to submit to the Holy Spirit. If it is not done on a regular basis, if it happened to John the Baptist, it could happen to us. And if we're not careful, we'll start making the wrong declarations. We'll start making the wrong confessions in the way that we live our life. We will start to say, God's direction is not important to me. Studying God's word is not important to me. Talking to God, getting his direction is not important to me. And we'll make that statement of no faith instead of saying, no, I remember where I came from. I remember what God brought me out of. I remember how God used me, and I want him to use me again. I can't go back to the old life. He's going to make sure there's nothing there for me. It's going to be empty nets all night. It's only going to be blessed if God blesses it. Despite the circumstances, if I want God to use me, I'm going to have to do it in God's way. So that's my message to myself and to each of you tonight. When we doubt, not if we will, but when we do doubt, what do we do with those doubts? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the privilege of being able to stand and hold your word and realize that it has the answers that we need for salvation. If there's any here tonight that are not sure of heaven, they've never confessed and said, I agree with God, I'm a sinner, I agree with God. There's only one way to heaven, and it's not anything that I can do, it's what Jesus did for me. I agree with God that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's one like that here tonight, Lord, I pray they confess that tonight, get that right, and then live, each of us, live our Christian life with a daily declaration, a daily affirmation, say, this is what God has left me here to do. Either my faith is increasing or my faith is decreasing in the way, in the choices that I'm making. I pray you bless us tonight and our invitation. If there's something we need to get right, something we need to put right back in, get in the right habit, that we do that tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless the invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.